when she can, she's there with me. John chapter 2. We want to preach tonight on the subject, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And I believe that means wine. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firstkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots. If that first verse teaches anything, it teaches human responsibility. He could have done that. But he desires to use us. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The best is yet to come. This beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And his disciples believed on him. And after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. We want to take our text from verse 10. He saith unto them, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. The best is yet to come. I believe the Lord always saves the best for last. Now, sin doesn't work that way. Sin doesn't work that way. Sin always starts with what appears to be the best. And ends with the worst. Now, the devil doesn't tell you that. But that's the way he works. There's pleasure in sin. But this pleasure is only for a season. Just momentarily. And the person who is enjoying sin needs to remember that the worst is yet to come. The worst is yet to come. The devil promises the best, but he gives the worst. Now, is that right? Y'all experienced that? Why do we have to fall for all of his tricks? And we know that that's the way it is. Satan allures with the pleasure of sin. But he never warns about the pain that follows. Severe pain follows. Every time. He doesn't tell you that your sins affect your children, as we preached the other night. But it's true. The Lord said that He's going to visit our iniquity under the third and fourth generations. And that's exactly what happens. Whatsoever a man soweth, that, circle that word, that shall he also reap. I believe it would do us good if we would ask the question, before we sin, what is this going to cost me? What is this going to cost me? Now, the devil's not going to tell you that. But what is this going to cost me? What am I going to have to pay for doing what I'm about to do? Or say what I'm about to say. Or live the way I'm going to live. What is this going to cost me? This is going to cost me somewhere down the road. I'm going to pay for this somewhere down the road. And I believe that this law is still in effect today. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. There are many people today with shattered minds, with shattered bodies, with broken lives, crying out, if only I had known that sin saves the worst till last. Sin still takes you further than you intend to go. And sin still costs you more than you intend to pay. And sin still costs you more than you want to pay. Devil doesn't tell you that though, does he? Look with me in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23:29. Who hath woe? In verse 29. Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. When you see the bubbles.
Verse 32. What's the first few words? At the last. At the last. It biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. At the last. Sin always saves the worst till the last. Y'all see that? That person that took that first bottle of beer never thought that they would end up being an alcoholic. Bunch of us guys just get together and get out on a gravel road somewhere and get a case of beer, and that's all there was going to be to it. I'd go to my aunt's, and she would give me a little glass that cheese used to come in, y'all remember? And she would give me a little glass of that because it was good for you, for a kid. And I drank that. You know what happened? At a very young age, I developed a taste for that. And I loved it. But at the last, I never intended to go as far as I did with that stuff. Never intended that. Never intended to stay as long as I did in it. But several years later, I was still there. And it just about killed me. Got in a car wreck in a Pontiac, 57 Pontiac Fire Chief. Just bought it. Didn't have any insurance on it. 4 o'clock in the morning, I hit a big oak tree. The car skidded on the pavement, and it was a skidding. The gas was pouring out, caught the car afire. The driver's side was down on the pavement. The other door was smashed in, and I was inside of that thing burning. It was burning. And there just happened to be somebody up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Can you imagine somebody being up at 4 o'clock in the morning? They came out there, broke the back window, and pulled me out. And I stand here with a broken nose and 3 stitches on my nose. It cost me more than I intended to pay. Just about cost me my life. Just about cost me my wife and my child. But the devil didn't tell me that in the beginning. Same way with drugs. Kids, don't listen to the devil. You start with that stuff and the worst is yet to come. Believe me, the worst is yet to come. There are starving children today because of that stuff. Broken homes because of that stuff. Divorces because of that stuff. But here's a man out to what he thinks is a good time here in the book of Proverbs. He sits and he looks at the cup of wine. He admires its sparkle. He admires its beauty. Now, isn't that exactly what the advertisement shows you? Huh? They show you what appears to be the best. Don't they? Boy, look what you could have if you drink this stuff. Boy, look at the good time that you can have if you get involved in this sin. He sips it. He enjoys the taste. At the beginning, sin is always a pleasant thing. Isn't it? Otherwise, nobody would sin. But afterward. Sin always starts with the best. But ends with the worst. The devil will tell you that's not that bad. I really haven't done that much to be out of the will of the Lord. It really doesn't matter that much. But he doesn't tell you that if you don't repent and you don't take care of those things, the worst is yet to come. We want to harbor sin. I don't care how big it is, how small you think it is. The worst is yet to come. Being in the will of God is always, always the best. And I believe that sin always pays the same wages. Death. Death. The Lord says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is hell. Man still reaps exactly what he sows. And we may not see now. We'll see it sooner than we expect. The worst is yet to come. The day also will come when you'll hate yourself for thinking that you could sin and get away with it. Why do we do that? Why do we go ahead and sin and think that we can get away with it? Payday is coming. So is sin. The worst is yet to come. But for those that are saved, the best is yet to come. The Lord always saves the best for last. And I believe we can see this principle operating in nature. When God made this world, He made it on the principle of growth and change. You know, a seed isn't a very pretty thing. But the seed has a potential of becoming a beautiful flower. Isn't that right? It's buried. The sunshine hits it. The rain hits it. And here comes an ugly root. Starts growing. And then before long, there's some pretty green leaves. Then there's a pretty flower. So in nature, The best is yet to come. I couldn't help but think about an ugly caterpillar. But then before long, the best is yet to come. Then you see that beautiful butterfly. And so for nature, the best is yet to come. And I believe Paul tells us that in the book of Romans. Turn over there with me to the book of Romans. I'm not going to get in a big hurry tonight. I got further to go than most of you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth, in verse 22, and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body, not our soul, but our body. The best is yet to come. And so for nature, the best is yet to come. Paul here tells us that all creation is in travail, waiting for Jesus to come back to deliver nature from the bondage of sin. Isn't that what you get out of that? Even with all the beauty that we see around us, our world is not the way that God wants it to be. The best is yet to come. Sin has made havoc of God's glorious creation. But praise God, the best is yet to come. God isn't finished with this world yet. One of these days, we're going to have a new earth. The best is yet to come. Look at Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. Or chapter 21. Chapter 21. Look at verse 5. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. So the best is yet to come. For us that are saved by the grace of God, the best is yet to come. God isn't finished with us. What's that song the kids sing? He's still working on me. You know? He's still working on me. He's still working on you. God isn't finished with us yet. One of these days soon, Jesus Christ is going to return. And He's going to give us new bodies. He's going to give us a new home. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. The best is yet to come. Aren't you glad of that? Brother Smith, one of these days, you're going to have a brand new body. That boy sitting beside you is not going to have to poke a needle in your arm every once in a while. You're going to have a new body. Brother Eaton, what, 86 years old? One of these days, brother, you're going to have a new body. Sister Eaton, you're going to have a new body. Fashioned like unto His glorious body. Isn't that wonderful? Not going to have to go in there and put a stent in your arteries, you know. This is great. We're going to have a new body. The best is yet to come. We're going to have a new home. You all won't have to worry about being jealous over brother and so-and-so because they got a better home and a newer home and a bigger home than you got. Don't have to worry about that anymore. And I'm thankful for what home God has given me here upon this earth. But I've got a better home awaiting me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you're going to be also. I'm looking for that. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm not going to settle for a little cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Are you? I'm not. I want what the Lord said I'm going to have. I'm going to have a mansion. I don't understand all that. But I'm looking forward to the home that He has for me. And I thank God for what I've got now here. But the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I tell you what, this truth encourages me. Doesn't it, you? When I look at my life, and I see how far short I fall, I could easily be discouraged. But then the Lord reminds me that He hasn't made me yet. He's still making me. The best is yet to come. If you don't like what you see now, hang on. Because He's not through with me yet. He's still working on me. Listen, God has a plan for our lives. God has a plan for every life here. And God is going to finish what He starts. He's going to finish what He starts. He started working on you. He's going to keep on working on you until He finishes working on you. Boy, I'm glad of that. One of these days, we're going to look into the face of our Savior and say, "You have saved the best until now." You know, it starts with the good. Then it gives the better. And then He gives the best. Don't run ahead of God. You let Him direct your steps. He has His plan. And He has His time. God's clock is never a minute late, never a minute early. It always strikes on the right time. I didn't know much about that when I was saved, but I do now. And I believe that. I believe that there's a time for those that He has chosen unto salvation. I believe that there is a time when He deals and He works on that heart, and when He gives that person the grace to step out and say, "I want to identify myself with God's people." There's a time, there's a sermon, there's a time when that man is preaching, there's a message that God uses to prick the heart of that individual, and they don't have any problem. When it's time to come, they come. That's exactly the way He works. He saves the best for last. You know, our hearts cannot conceive the wonderful things that God has prepared for us. But praise God, the best is yet to come. And when it comes, we'll look back at the difficulties of life and say, it's worth it all. Are we going to find you at Jesus' feet? You know, I still have a responsibility to preach the glorious gospel unto you. That Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He arose again the third day. That if you would only trust Him, if you would only believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was buried and arose again the third day, you could be saved by the grace of God. And God will save you. But He is not going to believe for you. That is something that you have got to do. You've got to believe. You have got to trust. You have got to repent of your sin of unbelief. And when you're gloriously saved by the grace of God, God gives you assurance of knowing that you're saved by the grace of God. Tell you my experience a little bit. I was saved in a Nazarene church. And I was saved. I know I was saved at the west end of that altar. I was up in an altar. But I was saved. I know and believe with all of my heart I was saved by the grace of God. I got up from there, left, got in my car, my wife and my son, and we was going out 127 in South Street Bridge. And I experienced something there. And I thought for a long time, well, was I saved in the west end of that altar? Or was I saved out there on 127 in South Street Bridge? And the Lord said, son, that was just the assurance. That was just the assurance when you was out there on South Street Bridge there. That was just the assurance of knowing that you were saved by the grace of God. And I believe sometimes that happens. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you know that you're saved. And if you're saved, you want to do that which is pleasing and honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will follow Him in baptism, unite with His church, and get in there and live for the Lord and serve Him the rest of your days of your life. I believe that's the way it works. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come for His church. He's going to present it a glorious church. The best is yet to come. One of these days He's going to return. It could be tonight. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be something? He can come back any moment. I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days He's going to return. He didn't tell us when. He didn't even tell Jesus. The angels don't even know. But it could be tonight. Are you ready? Have you trusted Christ? Are you saved by the grace of God? You know, I was going to preach tonight on going to hell from the church pew.
vallen en wapen. Als weet nog iets gaan zitten.
Going to hell from the church pew. The Lord said, except our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, we will in no wise enter the kingdom of God. And the Pharisees are doing what a lot of church members are doing today. They come to church, they tithe, they work in the church, they sing specials. But unless you've had a personal experience of grace in your heart, regardless whether you're a church member or not, whether you're working hard in the church or not, you're going to die and split hell wide open. So the best is yet to come. You're here and lost tonight. I beg you. I plead with you. Come to Christ. All those that come to Him, He'll save. He's never turned anybody away that's come to Him in repentance and faith. No, not a one. He has saved every single one. And He'll save you tonight. You're here tonight and maybe all week long. You've been fighting. There's something there in your heart that you know that you've got to get right. Whether it would be with the Lord, whether it would be with one another, or whatever it may be. Some particular sin in your life you need to get taken care of. But you've been struggling with it all week. Get it right. Like I said this morning, there's nothing like being right with the Lord. And there's nothing worse. And you know, with a child of God, the Lord's not going to let you alone. But you continue on with that sin, the worst is yet to come. Has the Lord spoken to you tonight? If He has, you come. Let us all stand, have a song of invitation. I'm going to go to the hospital. 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 I'm going to go to the hospital.